activists are at the heart of the BOBS. The awards, which are meant to honour the best in online activism, were handed out this week. Full disclosure, the BOBS are put on by Deutsche Welle. Shahidul Alam was part of the 15-member international jury. His accomplishments are remarkable, though he'd be the last person to say as much. Shahidul is an internationally celebrated photographer, a curator, a writer, a human rights activist. He's been a driving force behind many firsts for his country, Bangladesh. The first picture agency, the first photography school, first online portal, first webzine, first email network. But before that, Shahidul got a PhD in organic chemistry. Early in the week, I spoke to Shahidul about his journey from science to activism to photography, about social inequality in Bangladesh, and about the BOBS Awards that he and the rest of the jury had just announced in Berlin. Shahidul, what took you from chemistry to photography?
My photography started by accident. I was getting one of those cheap Freddie Laker tickets to New York, and a friend of mine asked me to buy him a camera, which I did. I hitched around the United States, around Canada, with my sleeping bag and tent, came back to London. He didn't have money to pay for the camera. I got stuck with it. So, of course, I started using it. Having been a research chemist, tinkering in the darkroom wasn't a problem. I took up professional photography in London, working in a small studio called Young Rascals in Acton, taking pictures of children. But that was when I realized that I could actually make a viable living as a photographer, perhaps. So I left my photographic practice in the UK, went back to Bangladesh. But that's when things became more difficult. I mean, reality hit the ground. I wanted to practice photojournalism. There was no interest. I didn't have a track record. I didn't have the credentials or the influence. So I took the only work I could. I started doing advertising, fashion, industrial photography, which paid well but didn't really feed the soul. But it was as an activist in the streets trying to bring down an autocratic general, General Ershad, who was then in power, that I started taking pictures of my own movement. And that has since become the photography I'm known for.
What drove you to document the life around you?
I think discontent to an extent. I mean, we live in a very classist society where there are huge inequalities. And I felt some way of making a change was needed. I didn't really think a research chemist would perhaps be the best person to do it. And certainly the media, to me, offered the best possibility. In a country where levels of textual literacy are so low, using images also made sense. But quite apart from that, photographs remain perhaps the most powerful tool there is. So if I was to fight a war, it made sense to take the most powerful arsenal.
You're a photographer and an activist, a co-founder of the Bangladesh Human Rights Network. Your admirers hold you up as a paragon of truth and honesty, as someone determined to preserve the dignity of his subjects, whatever their situation entails. Of all your many accomplishments, what has meant the most to you?
I don't actually think I've accomplished very much. At a personal level, I think the school that I set up, when I started it up, I was the sole local teacher. I bullied my friends, who were fine professionals from all over the globe, to come and teach. Today, of my 24 teachers, 22 are former students. That's organic. That is strength that they cannot take away from us. And that is something that we have built from within. And in a country like Bangladesh, to have built what is possibly the finest school of photography in the world is certainly something I'm very proud of. But at a personal level, it's something else. I think I've been able to challenge social inequality in my own home. We had a young man used to work in my mother's home. He didn't have the right to sit inside the drawing room to watch television. I published his picture in our calendar, gave a copy to my mother, gave a copy to him. The following day, he sat in that room to watch television. It's a small little change, but I think those are the changes that really make a difference. And until we can personalize these things, until we can ask ourselves the same hard questions we asked others, I don't think we'll ever progress.
You wrote a moving post on your blog about your recent visit to Rana Plaza. That was the 9-story industrial complex that collapsed 2 weeks ago, killing at least 700 people. You wrote about your need to smell the horror, hear the cries, feel the emptiness. What does Rana Plaza mean to you?
The building represents all the things that we shouldn't have, in the sense that it is opulence in a nation which has relative poverty. It is consumerism to a level which is completely unjustified, and it represents greed. What it also talks about is the complete disregard for safety and human dignity. These are people who've made huge amounts of money on the backs of the very people who've given us all the privileges that we have. I mean, Bangladesh is a wonderful country. It has great possibilities, but its gains have been because of migrant workers, because of garment workers, and because of the farmers in the field. Yet those are the people who benefit the least from the gains we've received. And to me, that nine-story building built illegally represents all of those things. I was very saddened when it happened, obviously, but I was far away, I was frustrated. So as soon as I got back, that was where I went. But this is not a sole incident. This has happened time and time again. And up till now, not a single owner of a garment factory has been tried and convicted in Bangladesh. I feel angry, I feel frustrated, to an extent helpless, but I don't think that is a particularly healthy feeling. I think I, as a journalist, and all the activists around me, we need to do everything we can to ensure that it never happens again.
The disaster came in the midst of turmoil in Bangladesh. In early April, four bloggers were arrested for allegedly hurting people's religious beliefs online. One of them is a past Bob's winner, Asif Mohiuddin, an avowed atheist who had one of Bangladesh's most popular blogs and a leader of the Shabag protest movement. Asif and the other three men could face 10 years in prison. Rights groups say the men are being muzzled. Can you explain what prompted those arrests?
At the moment, we are in a very difficult political situation. It's election year, and the government is desperate to hang on by whatever means, and the opposition wants to get back into power by whatever means. And they have used all the political tools at their disposal, including pampering to Islamist forces, pampering to fringe marginal groups that might give some obscure benefit. And I think that is part of what has led to this. The initial Shabag movement was a spontaneous movement by people who felt they wanted to ensure that no underhand dealings were done, that the war criminals who had opposed the formation of Bangladesh would be brought to trial and justice. But the verdicts that were given made people suspicious. That led to the Shabag protest in the first place. And the bloggers were at the forefront of that movement. They were the ones who called the people together.
As a member of the Bob's jury, you and your fellow jurors gave the Best Blog Award to Chinese author Li Chengping. What was it about Li's blog that you felt was so important?
The blog was very symbolic, and quite frankly, we were very moved by a video that was shown where his mouth was muzzled. A very strange situation developed where the government, recognizing his huge popularity, knew that they couldn't stop him, but they allowed him to do his book signing, but prevented him from using a word. So he had his face masked. So this was a very interesting symbolism about giving voice without having a voice oneself. I mean, in a way that epitomizes it, but I think that was the thread that held the whole thing together. It was a very powerful, moving little clip, but it symbolized all the things that this blogger represented, that finding creative, innovative ways of combating oppression was what bloggers do.